The job market is constantly changing, and at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too. Working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience. Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour three of the nation, and now under 2.5 hours to Rangers pregame. There's going to be day baseball tomorrow. We'll be on live from the tennis courts in Oxnard, California when it goes final. Looking for their fourth in a row tonight. Could we be talking about a sweep tomorrow? Don't want to get too greedy. These have been close games, but Rangers figuring out how to get it done, Brian.
Yeah, and the Angels and Mariners are, thinking the top of the fifth now. It's 1-0 the Mariners, and great. Boom. I mean, just a great double play for the Angels to get out of the inning. So hopefully, I think I saw earlier, too, that the A's and the Strohs were tied 1-1, but that was very early as well. So
it looks like it's 4-1 now, Houston up in the
I've been watching.
But, still within striking distance. Yeah. We got more good Rangers news. Josh Young is going to start a rehab assignment on Friday in Frisco. Bruce Bochy saying Evan Carter about a week behind Josh Young in terms of his rehab timeline.
Let's go Rangers. And let's go Cowboys. Our training camp coverage underway tomorrow afternoon. Salute to our sponsors, Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and the Guardian Caps folks. Here's Wolchuk with a C-note. Cowboys news of the evening.
Well, how about our friend Jane Slater? We'll see Slater out in Oxnard. She is getting ready to fly out there. She said she actually ran into a large gentle giant on her way. It's Travis Frederick. On the way to go to training camp as well, go visit his old team. Looks like he can still play, says Jane. He's rocking a man pony as well.
Wow.
So we'll have to get the grade there.
What about the beard? Yeah, we're going to have to take a look. I need to get a glimpse of those warlocks.
But I hope we get to see Travis Frederick. Maybe we can try and pop him on the show.
Dude, we got to
catch up with him.
I think that's perfect because that's the type of guy you want coaching up your man BB.
Yeah,
hopefully he's BB's personal guy so that he can outduel Hoffman, so that Walchuk's favorite, you know, draft pick isn't sitting on the bench to start. He's like, I think that's my favorite camp battle coming up is Walchuk's internal battle, fighting his BB bias over Hoffman. He's gonna see Hoffman. He's gonna see Hoffman pancake somebody, and he's gonna find something to be like, nah, it wasn't that good though. Like Hoffman, yeah, no, he pancaked. No.
I'm not gonna downgrade Brock Hoffman for good things.
Did you see the way BB pulled against no defense on that one drill?
Looks good in air.
Is it damn
boy?
Looks good in space.
Tell you what, that mock game, Cooper Beebe dominated. I think he lined up beautifully.
Gosh, the way that guy walks through.
You hear him barking out the orders there? Huh? Come on. Those snaps were looking good for my guy, Cooper Beebe. Well, speaking of the offensive line, Tyler Smith was one of the first players to talk to the media yesterday once the team got off the buses there.
Drew the short stick.
The facility. Well, he's now preparing for a larger leadership role. Going into year three is Tyler Smith.
He's a good talker.
He is, and he has been ever since his rookie year. I mean, he was really, really intelligent guy, well-spoken, loves the game, and he said, it's huge for me stepping into that leadership role. Mike Solari has high expectations. His philosophy, just bringing the younger guys like Tyler Guyton, Nate Thomas up to speed on that, just being that leader for them and showing them the ropes. He said, being in the O-line room, being around the great guys that I've been around, they imparted on me a lot of knowledge. So it's my job to pass that knowledge on and continue to make sure that the standard of our room is held long after I'm gone, and especially while I'm here. And he got to learn from Tyron Smith. Travis Frederick was gone. Zach Martin's still there. And now he's stepping up and being this guy for Cooper Beebe, my dude, Brock Hoffman, who's a young player. And, of course, the rookie Tyler Guyton. So we'll see. I mean, I hope we get to catch up with Tyler. I think he's a great interview.
He is. And I love that, maybe they're pushing him forward as a leader because I think he's got everything that he would want. Great player.
Got the straights.
Good voice, well thought out with everything that he does. So, you know, I would definitely look to Tyler as, you know, the next generation of leaders, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm hoping to bump into him on the off day movie theater situation like we did last year. He was going Oppenheimer with
us. He did. He went and saw Oppenheimer at the same theater.
Maybe we'll go see Deadpool and Wolverine with him. Get one of those cool novelty popcorn buckets.
I'm in.
In a Wolverine bucket, you know? Try to get that back on the plane.
Yeah, I know. Our office agent, Tim Collins, was like, guys, Twister. Let's all
okay,
go.
Twister, if you had to see one movie in Oxnard this
Deadpool.
Week. Deadpool or Twister, it's a no-brainer. Deadpool, yeah, I think I'm with Deadpool. You. I think I'm with you.
I mean, I'm sorry, Tim, but come on. We're going to see Deadpool.
Sorry, Glenn Powell.
You ready to start watchdogging some other teams' rosters, Brian?
Always.
We doing poaching?
Let's poach.
Yep.
Ooh. You guys want to poach?
Pro scout.
Shop. Mm-hmm.
Roster bubble players on other teams Cowboys could be monitoring courtesy of Blogging the Boys, and a couple of these names I brought up in the past, but we got running back Javonte Williams, Denver Broncos.
Yep.
Good player, coming off some injuries, but when he plays, very good player. Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Tennessee Titans. Got a crowded room
Ooh,
there.
That's a Razorback, too.
That's a Razorback. Cowboys liked him coming out of the draft class. DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd are there. So now Treylon Burks, number four on the depth chart, that's a crowded room. All of a sudden, maybe Tolbert's not looking so good. We're hoping Jalen Brooks steps up. Does he? Flournoy, the rookie. You're not loving what you're seeing with the receiver room. Maybe Burks comes available.
I don't know how he's been a bust so far. You know, the physical tools, just get him the ball. You know, he's a monster. So I would be willing to take a shot on you know, change of scenery for Treylon Burks, considering you really only have two wide receivers.
Now we got offensive lineman Jackson Carman of the Cincinnati Bengals. He was Trevor Lawrence's blindside protector during their time together at Clemson. Hasn't settled in as a starting caliber offensive tackle with the Bengals. So now they're kicking him inside to guard. So he's got that position flexibility. Do the Cowboys want to go ahead and add another offensive lineman? I don't know. This one to me sounds like maybe not a guy that they'd be poaching.
They're going to look at those offensive tackles. Like, they're clearly, their better offensive linemen are all inside.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, if he hasn't made it as a tackle, I don't think they're going to look to add a guard. Yeah. I think they're pretty okay at guard.
Defense. Because of BB.
Yeah, because BB, are you kidding me? He can play center or guard.
Yeah, I feel like he's the rare breed that could simultaneously be your guard and center. You run out four guys.
You give me 11 Cooper BBs. We're not having a Super Bowl drought anymore, all right? Huh. Levi Onwuzurike, defensive tackle of the Detroit Lions, 2021 second-round pick. He's battled injuries, inconsistent in his first few years in the NFL. Lions are deep at defensive tackle, so you need help here. Now, I'm not sure size-wise, he looks more of a 3 versus a 1, Brian.
Sure.
But maybe he's a guy that right now, I don't know that you have anything that's proven behind Osa Odighizuwa. So could Onwuzurike end up giving you some depth? And then here's a very interesting name. Remember Peyton Turner, edge rusher?
Yeah.
Believe out of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up being a high first-round pick in 2021. I think the Saints moved up to go get him. Now, he's entering a make-or-break year. He's had injury issues. He's only played in 15 games in 3 years. Has not had a sack since 2022.
Mm.
So the Saints might be ready to move on, but that's a guy that you look at traits, former first-round pick. Cowboys do have a history of bringing in guys that were former first-rounders, try and revitalize their career. These are some names maybe you try and pay attention to in preseason when the NFL Network, you're sitting around, you're watching them. Maybe see how these guys are looking, could be poach candidates for your Dallas Cowboys, potentially. Any of those names you don't like, you'll actually pay attention to, you don't think so. And I thought 469 Levi was from Allen. So he is, local kid.
Yeah, the thing with Onwuzurike is that, man, I thought coming out of Washington, and the quickness, the upfield, his ability to attack, play on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and with Detroit, it just hasn't. I mean, you mentioned the injuries and stuff like that. I mean, if they're, Dallas might not have a backup three. Behind, I mean, depending on what you think of Golston, I'm sure they're going to try and get Fehoko involved in that. We'll see what happens with, you know, their rookie. Will he play edge or will he play inside? Maybe they're going to be a little bit more. I think the one techniques are the ones they're hunting. I think the threes, they feel like they're going to probably be okay there.
I'm hoping for a running back. You mentioned Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, when healthy, I think his first year, it was around 4.5 an attempt. Apparently, he's getting all the first team reps in Denver right now.
So. Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a guy that but the injuries there, they drafted our Notre Dame guy, Audric Estime, as well. So we'll see.
Javonte
Williams, he might not be a guy that ends up getting cut.
Yeah, the running back is the one that I think is probably first on the list of most likely to snag somebody at some point. After cuts and things, because there's plenty of solid young dudes that can get out there and do a little something for you.
And then another one tech that's a free agent that's still out there, Mike Purcell of the Broncos.
He started
10 games a year ago, 6'3", 338 pounds. Has the size that you want there as a space-eating defensive tackle. So maybe that's a name that's still a free agent. We see a lot of these veterans end up getting signed. It happened with Anthony Barr when we were out there earlier. So you know, that's another name to kind of keep an eye on if you're the Cowboys. We are going out there to Oxnard. We'll be there tomorrow. We're flying out tonight. So we got some storylines that we're going to be looking at. One of these we talked about earlier, and it's interesting to me, like, who's going to be the team starting left tackle. If it ends up being Chuma Edoga, are we just like, how much of a world of trouble are we going to be in? And I don't want to just completely put a pile of dirt on Chuma Edoga. I thought he played well inside at guard. It just didn't seem like the footwork, the quickness to be able to play left tackle was quite there. They like him, and hey, they know better in that building than me. But my goodness gracious, you took Tyler Guyton. I'm expecting to see Edoga getting first team reps. I think that's just kind of how they do these things at training camp. But if we're lining up week one against the Cleveland Browns with Myles Garrett and Warren Sharp, just had them as the best front seven in all of football, and it's hard to argue. And I understand you got a rookie left tackle. There might be some growing pains there. Maybe Tyler Guyton doesn't look too good, but I can live with that. You're growing, you're learning, you're improving. I can't live with getting my ass kicked by a journeyman veteran in Chuma Edoga in that game.
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough. You got a coaching staff maybe playing for their jobs and a front office that just wants to be in the playoff picture until the end of the season for those good TV ratings. So I'm with you, though, Wolchuk. Hopefully, you know, Tyler Guyton is close enough. I think the takeaway would be, holy crap, our rookie first rounder, they might have actually missed on an offensive lineman, because if he's worse than Edoga right now, then the distance to being a good NFL player is a long way away.
Watching Edoga be a turnstile is one of the more egregious. I mean, that single-handedly lost you the Dolphins game, it feels like.
It did, yeah.
Tyler Guyton would have to be playing terrible throughout camp and preseason for him not to be my week one starter.
But I guess that's been also Bobby's point, what you just said there. And you know this, Brian, because Love of the Star, and go check it out. You guys have a new episode out. It's awesome listening to you guys basically every other day. But I guess that's been the argument Bobby's trying to make. Do coaches now, and Mike McCarthy said, hey, we're on a one-year deal here. Mm-hmm. We're coaching for our jobs. Do they trust putting out a rookie in Tyler Guyton and maybe a rookie in Cooper Beebe, and do they just go with the veterans in Hoffman and Edoga, and we'll see how it goes. If we need to make an adjustment, we do. To me, I mean, it's scared coaching, and I think you're going to end up being, you fail miserably, and you're going to be out of here anyway if that's the way you're going to go about it.
I think the bigger problem here, guys, is we're probably focusing on the wrong thing. What we should be focused on, the fact that Ball will let's go, Awesome Richards, none of those guys were good enough to beat Edoga out.
Yeah.
To me, that's a problem, because now any type of, there's no safety net for you there. You know, if one of those guys were able to show you something, if Awesome Richards was to show you something, or Ball, well, let's go, they were showing you something, then maybe you feel like, okay, if we have the learning curve, I'm playing the kid and going for it. I'm not, you know, with the Edoga, but I'm, it says a lot about the depth of their offensive line, and maybe they don't have any at tackle, because every one of those guys I named was not good enough to beat Edoga out. Not, I think that tells you a lot right there.
They've had a lot of fails outside of the first round with their offensive lineman draft picks.
Sure have.
Those are like, you know, fourth, fifth round guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Richards is the one we still have a little hope in.
Like, you should hit on one of them every now and then.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that none of these guys were good enough to make Edoga have to sit on the bench.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
All righty. Thank you, Wolchuk. There's a C-Note, Cowboys news over the evening, and we'll have plenty of Cowboys takeaways for you tomorrow when our show starts at 2 o'clock. The Rangers will still be playing, but almost every other day of camp, You know, we're going to be on the practice field reporting what we see and passing the very latest along to you. It's a fan base that desperately needs something to get fired up about. And that's something Todd Archer wrote about today for ESPN, one of our favorite Cowboys writers. We'll talk about that coming up in the Expressway at 5:20. The top 10, though, at 4:20 is next. Well, Chuck, what's the subject matter today?
Well, let's hear from our old friend Austin Hedges, but it's National Drive-Through Day, the top 10 best drive-through chains. What's the one you frequent the most? That's next in the nation.
Shoot, yeah, boy. Here it is. Zach Woolchuk's top 10 at 4:20 every afternoon at this time. Have a lot of Cowboys content here for you. And coming up at 5 o'clock, the roast of the birthday boy will continue with Zach and I's greatest fight ever. That's coming up at 5 o'clock. The top 10 at 4:20 brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. And here he is, without further ado, your Woolly Bully, Zach McNeigh.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to get to a very controversial list. Thank you to Eric, who put me on this. Is USA Today has just put out the best fast food restaurants in the United States. It's their new top 10. It's National Drive-Thru Day. What's your top drive-thru spot? Before we get to that, though, if we remember our good buddy Austin Hedges, champion, member of the reigning world champ Texas Rangers. He's now with the Cleveland Guardians.
Clubhouse guy all time.
And we were always
championship
asking,
level.
Hey, what's that number left on that ass, Hedgie? And he talked about wearing the assless chaps at the parade, but his mom said, no, I don't want you to do that, son. I don't want you to be showing that off to the world. Well, apparently he did a little video for the Cleveland Guardians, and this was to try and promote several of their players to get into the All-Star game, and they went ahead and just photoshopped the tushless chaps. It wasn't actually him showing off the bum. And he had a fun exchange with Chris Rose on Chris Rose Sports about the whole Cleveland Guardians plan here.
You were probably the biggest reason why Cleveland was able to have two starters in the American League starting lineup.
The only thing better than this outfit I'm wearing right now is Jose Ramirez at baseball. Okay, it's the heart and soul of our team. He deserves a start in the All-Star game.
I suppose the good news is they finally made an appearance.
They did. They had to Photoshop the assless part. Obviously, something worked, right? We got a couple guys in there.
You didn't go to them with the idea?
No. They came to me. They said, hey, man, we got an idea trying to get some of the guys into the All-Star game. And I was like, absolutely. Whatever you guys got, I'll go do something to try and get these guys some votes.
We did talk to Stephen Kwan. I said, boy, Hedgie probably really has a real hairy ass, too. He's like, yeah. Yeah. It is out there. So we would have had to shave that thing down if it had.
I don't have a hairy ass. I actually don't.
Really?
No, not a single hair in my butt. He told the universe that. I have hairy front, no hairy back. Backside, great. It's God given. And I'm probably going to have to drown Steven in the cold tub when I get to the field today.
I have a hairy front. Nothing on the back at all. I don't even have hair back there.
Generally, if you have a hairy back, does that go all the way down to the cheeks?
I can't see.
So you don't know whether or not you have
I've
a hairy cheek?
I've probably got some hairy cheeks, dude.
Probably.
It's woolly for a reason.
Right. No, okay. I think that would be one of the bigger upsets in
that would be
fan history if you had a smooth ass.
I'd be surprised if it's smooth. Shocked, you. Probably.
Yeah,
I'm bordering on 100-1 right now.
If he showed me a smooth ass right now, I would say he's ball sacking us.
Well, don't be asking.
What'd you do with the real Woolchuck?
He subbed it out. I'm AI, baby. I'm AI.
I can't believe they let this guy go, though. You can just tell he creates immaculate vibes.
He's so much
and
fun.
When Minister you're dealing with a roster of 26 people, who cares if one guy can't really play that good?
Oh, man. Great defenseman, just can't hit. But, hey.
I can frame a pitch.
You can see the impact that he's had now on the Guardians. I mean, first place. I mean, they had the best record in the American League at the All-Star break. I mean, just kicking butt and taking names. By the way, baseball coverage on the fan. Brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's get to this list. This is courtesy of the USA Today, 877-881-1053. What's your favorite drive-through fast food restaurant? We do have some In-N-Out love on the text. And I will say, I think the In-N-Out is better when we go to California. We did sample
it. Man, it is so good. In a second only to Whataburger. I'm not an In-N-Out hater. You know, I think their lines are pretty long for good reason. But nobody beats the King. You know how I feel about that, Wolchuk.
I know. You do love yourself some burgers.
Ooh, 682 is alleging that he believes Broadus has super smooth cheeks.
Smooth cheeks,
can you confirm?
No.
You don't?
You kinda can't confirm? Or?
No, I don't.
Okay, you don't have smooth cheeks.
I think it's probably just like light hairs.
No.
Well, because a lot of times bald guys,
I have no
a
rear.
Lot of their hair is actually on their cheeks.
I have no rear. That's the problem.
We got the wood hauler's ass?
Yeah, I got wood hauler's ass, yeah.
Gotcha.
Likewise. Yeah. Likewise.
But if you had an ass, it would be probably pretty hairy.
Maybe so.
Eric, are you still going with the Pollo Reggio?
For the fast food or the drive through stuff?
That's your number one seed?
Yeah.
You went through a hell of a run.
I did, man.
I mean,
that
green salsa that they had was pretty damn delicious.
Punished a lot of that chicken. Somebody texted in that their burgers are good. I didn't even realize they had burgers.
Didn't know they had them.
Might have to get in the mix on those. But, I mean, it's still Whataburger. I mean, ultimately, my fast food consumption has, like, decreased tremendously.
Don't lie to me.
But when I get that hankering, I was at a Sonic earlier today, right. So I need to take some of that back. But, Whataburger is the one.
Whataburger's the guy.
It's the one.
The lady.
By a mile. In-N-Out's in the mix.
Yeah, and I'm just talking, you know, pure fast food with the drive-through.
Yeah.
You know, around $10. But if we branched out just a little bit, I think Cowboy Chicken is one of my favorite places to go to eat.
Ooh.
Dude, Cowboy Chicken is freaking phenomenal.
Cowboy Chicken
got some good brisket options.
Phenomenal. I didn't know about the brisket.
Yep.
Well, the brisket.
Little chicken enchiladas. That's fire. Like one of those.
They've got chicken enchiladas.
Like, whoa, the chicken enchiladas are on point.
Well, all right. Ryan, drive-thru Taco Bell?
Yeah, Jack in the Box.
Okay.
I just for the variety.
I was thinking tacos. I know you're a big Jack in the Box guy.
Just
Broadus loves gas or fast food egg rolls and stuff.
Just
those are solid egg rolls. They're
the variety that you can order off that menu is you can't beat it.
I don't know. Smoothie King has a drive-through. It can count 214. I don't know.
Some of them do. So, the one I originally worked at, like the original Smoothie Kings, are.
How long
not
did you last there again?
I was like, I put in a good 3 years.
People started complaining because you gave them diarrhea.
Two years in high school, and then one.
I thought you were just like a 3 week guy.
No, I was grinding, dude. And I did throw a little additional fiber in there, maybe unconsensually to the customers that were bleepholes.
Arby's, Lucius?
Arby's is fantastic, but if I had to be honest, man, there's a place that does not exist the same way it used to. Yeah. It's called The Freeze now, but back in the day it used to be called Tasty Freeze.
Tasty Freeze, yeah.
Yeah,
Tasty
man, it's like a real classic burger joint. Yeah. You can get Coney dogs there, ice cream there. You can get all types of shrimp. Like, the menu was fantastic, and you pulled up in your car and got it done. You walk in, you can hear and people talking, can I get the number 40?
Yeah.
Man,
it was so good. That's nostalgic vibe. Too, man. Every time we was in Tulsa, we had to fly through Tasty Freeze, dog. That was the go-to spot, the Tasty Freeze.
Shout out to R-Dub and R-Gal. He said he can't confirm that I've got a hairy tush because he was at the Southern Leisure when I did the Speedo bet payoff. That's true. Probably did get to a sample and check that out.
R-Dub's a lean, mean machine. I don't think that guy's doing much fast fooding.
No, he's probably not. Okay, here's the new USA Today list. 214 already texted and said, this list already sucks. Well, you're a troll trash idiot, 214, so you shut your damn mouth.
There you go.
That's it.
But I kind of agree with him. I think the USA Today has butchered this. Number 10 is indeed Arby's. And that's okay. I will be somebody.
Their hamburger actually is pretty good on these commercials now.
Dude, my dad got it once, said it was delicious.
Really?
So, okay. And it was a pretty good sized burger.
Yeah.
So Arby's, I don't think gets enough love. I think Arby's is very, very good.
For the curly fries alone, they belong in the top 10.
Yes. Number 9, and I can't say I've been here, is Zaxby's.
I have
that's a North Carolina place.
One time, and it actually underwhelmed me.
Okay.
It did.
It's chicken, right?
I got their chicken sandwich, the chicken sandwich craze, and so I was going, I was like, okay, let's try this one.
NASCAR. I think they're North Carolina.
So it's like Cane's, right, but it's got a more of a variety on the menu?
I think they have a menu, actually.
A little bit more.
Cane's doesn't have a menu.
No, Cane's is just the chicken, and then if you want the sandwich, it's chicken strips on the bun.
Yeah. No, this place, you can actually get like some bone-in chicken wings if you want, chicken sandos, and then tenders as well.
Oh, so they
got a good sauce. But I had their chicken sandwich, and it just, I was like, man, I should have gone to Popeyes.
Well, number eight, Popeyes.
Popeyes is pretty good.
Yeah, but there's definitely a place for it. I would push it closer to 5 than 10.
I think it should be higher than this. We talked about the sandwich. The chicken strips are very, very good. The bone-in chicken's very good.
I love the fries, too, and I love the mashed potatoes.
Yes.
With the brown gravy.
Oh, it's so, and it's a little spicy because of the Cajun kick. The red beans and rice as well. Number seven is Taco Bell. Late night favorite hits.
Cheesy Gordita Crunch is going to keep you been alive in a while. Forever.
All I can do now is the basic taco there. I don't really want to get complicated.
You don't want to get constipated.
You got a cheesy gordita that thing, bro.
I think it's the opposite of constipation there. I think that's going
to
really clear you out.
I was just saying, I was trying to put the words together there for
you. No, but I think for Dawson, remember, I mean, he does get backed up. Metamucil guy.
You're right. Number seven, Taco Bell.
Packed a fresh box in the luggage, by the way.
Oh, you packed bags?
Atta boy.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Popeyes, I know where you'll be when it comes to dinner time.
Oh, my gosh. How many over-under on the amount of tackle boxes that Dawson consumed?
Can we do I would set it at 2.5.
Two and a half? I'm pounding the over.
I'm going on the over, too. Number six.
Guys, give me the car.
Can't say I've been here either, but I know my Baskey's been talking a lot of Long John Silver's. I guess this is
the
knockoff. It's Captain D's.
Okay, I've been to Captain D's. Wait, Long John Silver's is good.
Captain D's?
Yes. Quality seafood meal. Captain D's has what you desire. They've got platters of fried catfish or white fish, grilled salmon, blackened tilapia, fried shrimp, served with southern style sides like okra and corn.
You're looking at frozen food fish sticks. You know, I'm totally out on any
Mrs. Paul's
fast seafood.
Yeah.
Except the Tackle Box Popeyes.
Oh, okay.
There is a Captain D's in Plano. I've just never been to it.
I have never heard of Captain D's.
So Captain D's is sitting above Popeyes on this list, Wolchuk.
I'm telling you, USA Today's butchered this.
A little vetting would go a long way.
Number five is Hardee's.
The Hardee's party.
Which I guess is like Hardee's, Carl's Jr. Are they the same damn thing?
Yeah.
I think Hardee's is kind of a regional. Kind of a North Carolina, South Carolina area. Mm-hmm.
Usually sitting right next to a Mr. D's. They like to combo those up.
Four is In-N-Out.
Four is In-N-Out. Respectable. I think that's it's a Mount Rushmore.
Is that the thing with like the root beer and the Kentucky Fried Chicken? Those are all Yum.
A&W.
Brands.
Oh,
those Yum were brands. Awesome. That's Yum A&W. Brand. Yeah, but isn't it funny how they're all kind of right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll do two for one sometimes.
Like, hey, come on and get some chicken.
KFC and Taco Bell together.
I was super bummed when the one in Watauga got canned. But the A&W and Long John Silver's in Watauga is still standing.
What is A&W?
I don't know how that place still has a pulse.
I've never had it.
I haven't had it since I was in elementary school. I really couldn't tell you. I drive by it every so often, and I just wonder how
A&W root beer is good, but what else do they have?
It's just basic.
817 worked at Captain D's in high school. They hand batter every piece of fish. It's not frozen, you bleep hole.
Okay,
we got some.
All right.
Jeez, I'm so sorry that.
I mean, Captain D's, looking at the pictures and stuff, it doesn't pass the eye test.
469, you know? Captain D's has been around forever. Damn, guys, be better. I'm being educated.
We're just being honest.
I'm not saying.
If you said Long John Silver's, yes, around forever. Been
Captain
part of
D's,
that.
All right.
I don't know what Captain D's is. I'm sorry. I'm Long John Silver's. If they're a spinoff or a whatever, I've been.
Big upset. First time this hasn't been number one on this list in many a moons. Chick-fil-A comes in at number three.
Wow. Upset alert.
Mm-hmm.
They have been dethroned.
They've been dethroned.
For the first time. Leaving. I think that's a big part of that.
For the first time.
I think you're right. I think it's gone downhill since I left.
The presence of Wolchuk and the Chick-fil-A
industry. When he
handed
in the red apron, said, I've had enough.
Dude, they've been unseated?
Well, in the top two ahead of it. Guys, are we serious?
Captain D's.
Number two is KFC.
Ooh.
No.
Finger licking good.
KFC better than Chick-fil-A?
Yum brands.
Number Not even one. Better than Popeyes.
No, agreed. Number one is Del Taco.
Whoa. Ooh, Zeke would love that.
Zeke would be excited about some Del Taco.
Oh, that was his chicken deal, taco. Wasn't it?
I bet Zeke's tearing into like a dozen tacos right now from Del Taco.
He's probably single-handedly pushing those numbers up.
He's why he came back up to for the that Cowboys. Center battle.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Del Taco's getting it done more than Chick-fil-A is right now?
If we see one in California, we have to stop.
I guess so. I mean, what the hell is going on here?
I've had Del Taco. It's like Jack in the Box tacos.
Come on, man. Nothing wrong with those.
That's Bryce's one seed.
Gosh, it's my one seed.
But it's like a non-taco spot dead tacos.
Right.
Like the crispy shell hasn't been warmed up at all. You know, there's just nothing good going on with it. 817 says brand new Captain D's in Euless. Ate it this week. Pretty good. Better than Long John.
Okay.
So it's like Captain D's versus Long John.
Captain D's feedback. And I agree at 1-7. I thought that list was pretty rough.
Okay, what does Mike McCarthy think about going into his final season under contract and why even his biggest doubters are now hoping it's not his last year? That's coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Salute to the KMC masterpiece. I see him sitting here on the airplane. They're heading to Oxnard. We will be there tonight and ready to begin our camp coverage with you tomorrow. It's brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. And salute to Alba Limos. They're huge Tolos, and they're going to take us to the airport this evening. Be sure to support them at albalimos.com. Guys, this Mike McCarthy story, I think, is one that is being slept on. I know that everybody is not satisfied or excited about what this team is capable of, but this is a big story to me with him going into the final year of his deal, not because he's a lame duck coach. I think that storyline, you know, I can take it or leave it. I kind of agree with Jerry Jones that, you know, when you're up against the wall, you got to do your absolute best. And, you know, McCarthy in this story today, he said it's a challenge. And he points out that, you know, challenges are what coaches and players in the NFL are paid to overcome. So, you know, he's not going to let it be a distraction for him or make him any less a version of the coach that he is. He says you pour energy into yourself and bet on yourself and the odds tilt in your favor. It's something he did when he took the job in Green Bay. The Packers wanted to give him a 4-year deal. He was like, no. I want a 3-year deal so I can get back to the bargaining table. And he bet on himself there. And, you know, so he's familiar with being in this situation. But I just think McCarthy's done a great job. And I was a guy 4 years ago who was disappointed in the hire. I thought the Cowboys rushed into it, didn't do their due diligence. And he's, you know, by far not a great coach. But I think he is the best guy we could hope that the Joneses hire. You know, you turn them loose and have them look back into it. I don't think they're going to get as lucky that a guy like Mike McCarthy was just out there because of the negative image that had been generated by the end of the Aaron Rodgers saga. What we've seen here is a guy who, you know, keeps the roster relatively happy, keeps them healthy, and, you know, has a good offensive acumen. If you look at the things they've dealt with offensively, going 4-1 with Cooper Rush, you know, being top five in a lot of metrics during the regular season, to me, the only thing he needs is a great run game coordinator. You know, is there another Shanahan on the way? Can you bring back a Callahan? But, you know, that's the weakness that I see. And, you know, I don't want to lose all of the strengths because in a clear rebuilding year, they don't make the playoffs, or you're concerned that he's not the perfect coach. Hell, Shanahan's never won a big one. You know, every coach, you stick around for a long time, and unless you're stacking Super Bowls, there's going to be a knock or two on you. I can live with McCarthy's. The idea of Jerry leading a coaching search, I think, is terrifying and could set this organization back significantly.
I'm not sure why more coaches don't call up Mike Shanahan and have him come in and do a little workshop with him about the run game. Because if you look at all
that would require work and effort,
you're right,
and changing your philosophies.
And that's probably the answer there, right? These coaches are so stuck in their ways. But really, all these successful run games, starting with his son Kyle,
right.
Matt LaFleur was on the staff with him at Washington. So yeah. Was Sean McVay. So was Mike McDaniel. Bobby Slowick under there. Like, it's all derived from his run foundation.
You just said it. His son's still a coach. His son's still a coach. If his son wasn't in the league, you'd absolutely call him up and talk about run game stuff with him. I mean, that would be a no-brainer. But, you know,
so it's like Kyle's got dibs on his dad.
Well, yeah, he's got the dibs. But do you want Mike Shanahan coming into your organization and looking over everything and watching you and looking how you prepped and all that stuff like that?
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Well, what did you do with the run game?
What do you,
inside of training? You don't have to look at my stuff. I just want to pick your brain on running
the ball. I agree with you, but all of a sudden he's going to come in and say, well, how do you guys run the ball? And he's going to sit down and he's going to look at your scheme and he's going to tell you, you don't have the personnel to do this. You don't have the guards. You don't have the tackle. You don't have the athletic center. You know, you're directly competing against Kyle Shanahan. I would not want him anywhere near my building, to be honest with you. But your idea is not wrong. If Kyle was no longer in the league, hell yeah, bring him in.
That makes sense.
But the fact he's in the league, head coach of your main competition.
Yeah.
The thing that really stinks is a new meta of running the ball has been established for probably 8 years now. Was it 2016 with the Rams where it really rocket fired out of there? And whether it's a Mike Shanahan or a Bobby Slowick or a McVay, if he ever leaves the Rams, the biggest issue is that the front office doesn't understand it's a problem and Mike McCarthy doesn't understand it's a problem. You know, they're like, wow, we just need our guys to block better. You know, we got good schemes. They're tried and true. I've been coaching this game a long time, but you need to be thinking differently, not only from the coaching perspective, but you know, to hear Brian say it, you need different kinds of offensive linemen to run that. When they tried to use motion last year, it wasn't working. So here we have almost a decade into, hey, if you don't have great personnel, here's something that you can do to run the ball, and the Cowboys are still out to lunch on it. And to me, that is the reason why you don't want to move on from McCarthy. Is it a 10 out of 10? No. I call it a 7.5 out of 10. I mean, three straight 12-win seasons. You saw what Jason Garrett could do.
Yeah.
Overcoming injuries, you know, sure. The game plan against Green Bay was bad. But I feel like right now we're close. And all you need is an assistant coach to turn that light bulb on for somebody. You need a scout that's like, hey, guys, you know, let me make a presentation for you if you want to look at why, you know, some teams are managing to have success. We need to be thinking much more like a college team who's trying to compete against the blue chip D1 programs. And it worked for years. And for some reason in football, we got the idea that only the talent deficient team should be doing that. But it's taken hold in the NFL. And, you know, if somebody can turn that light on, then I think you have a really nice coaching staff. But sitting around hoping that passing game guru guys can be like, hey, you know, we need to spend a lot of time on the run game. That's not what they've mastered. And I think that's, you know, to me, the biggest thing holding this team back is just a fundamental understanding of that. And maybe I should be willing to take that leap of faith. But hell, I feel like Jerry's going to, you know, pull out his Rolodex, call some old guys and the first couple of guys that make sense that he likes. I mean, his quote here in the story, I don't worry about contracts and incentives over in the coaching ranks. That day he said any number of 500 coaches could have won the Super Bowl. That was a window into his mindset that he thinks the coaching staff is overrated. And, you know, you just give them enough good players and then the magic happens. But I look at, you know, GM and coach, like these got to be the smartest football guys, totally tuned to the modern trends, in order to get the great difference-making advantage. You need players, you need plays, and you need that front office that can constantly execute and replenish those guys if you want to stay on top. And, you know, right now I think it's Kansas City and San Francisco and everybody else playing catch-up. Okay, in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking it?
We will crank up the Oxnard vibes, ladies and gentlemen, next in the nation.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Salute to the KMC masterpiece. I see him sitting here on the airplane. They're heading to Oxnard. We will be there tonight and ready to begin our camp coverage with you tomorrow. It's brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. And salute to Alba Limos. They're huge Tolos, and they're going to take us to the airport this evening. Be sure to support them at albalimos.com. Guys, this Mike McCarthy story, I think, is one that is being slept on. I know that everybody is not satisfied or excited about what this team is capable of, but this is a big story to me with him going into the final year of his deal, not because he's a lame duck coach. I think that storyline, you know, I can take it or leave it. I kind of agree with Jerry Jones that, you know, when you're up against the wall, you got to do your absolute best. And, you know, McCarthy in this story today, he said it's a challenge. And he points out that, you know, challenges are what coaches and players in the NFL are paid to overcome. So, you know, he's not going to let it be a distraction for him or make him any less a version of the coach that he is. He says you pour energy into yourself and bet on yourself and the odds tilt in your favor. It's something he did when he took the job in Green Bay. The Packers wanted to give him a 4-year deal. He was like, no, I want a 3-year deal so I can get back to the bargaining table. And he bet on himself there. And, you know, so he's familiar with being in this situation. But I just think McCarthy's done a great job. And I was a guy 4 years ago who was disappointed in the hire. I thought the Cowboys rushed into it, didn't do their due diligence. And he's, you know, by far not a great coach. But I think he is the best guy we could hope that the Joneses hire. You know, you turn them loose and have them look back into it. I don't think they're going to get as lucky that a guy like Mike McCarthy was just out there because of the negative image that that had been generated by the end of the Aaron Rodgers saga. What we've seen here is a guy who, you know, keeps the roster relatively happy, keeps them healthy, and, you know, has a good offensive acumen. If you look at the things they've dealt with offensively, going 4-1 with Cooper Rush, you know, being top five in a lot of metrics during the regular season, to me, the only thing he needs is a great run game coordinator. You know, is there another Shanahan on the way? Can you bring back a Callahan? But, you know, that's the weakness that I see. And, you know, I don't want to lose all of the strengths because in a clear rebuilding year, they don't make the playoffs, or you're concerned that he's not the perfect coach. Hell, Shanahan's never won a big one. You know, every coach, you stick around for a long time, and unless you're stacking Super Bowls, there's going to be a knock or two on you. I can live with McCarthy's. The idea of Jerry leading a coaching search, I think, is terrifying and could set this organization back significantly.
I'm not sure why more coaches don't call up Mike Shanahan and have him come in and do a little workshop with him about the run game. Because if you look at all
that would require work and effort,
you're right,
and changing your philosophies.
And that, maybe that's probably the answer there, right? These coaches are so stuck in their ways. But really, all these successful run games, starting with his son Kyle,
right.
Matt LaFleur was on the staff with him at Washington. So yeah. Was Sean McVay. So was Mike McDaniel.
You just
Bobby
said it.
Slowick under there. Like, it's all derived from his
you
run
just said
foundation.
It. You just said it. His son's still a coach. His son's still a coach. If his son wasn't in the league, you'd absolutely call him up and talk about run game stuff with him. I mean, that would be a no-brainer. But, you know,
so it's like Kyle's got dibs on his dad.
Well, yeah, he's got the dibs. But do you want Mike Shanahan coming into your organization and looking over everything and watching you and looking how you prepped and all that stuff like that?
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it's just specifically like, hey, what did you do with the run game?
Yeah, what do you
inside
of
training. You don't have to look at my stuff. I just want to pick your brain on running.
I agree with you, but all of a sudden he's going to come in and say, well, how do you guys run the ball? And he's going to sit down and he's going to look at your scheme and he's going to tell you, you don't have the personnel to do this. You don't have the guards. You don't have the tackle. You don't have the athletic center. You know, you're directly competing against Kyle Shanahan. I would not want him anywhere near my building, to be honest with you. But your idea is not wrong. If Kyle was no longer in the league, hell yeah, bring him in.
That makes sense.
But the fact he's in the league, head coach of your main competition,
The thing that really stinks is a new meta of running the ball has been established for probably 8 years now. Was it 2016 with the Rams where it really rocket fired out of there? And whether it's a Mike Shanahan or a Bobby Slowick or a McVay, if he ever leaves the Rams, the biggest issue is that the front office doesn't understand it's a problem and Mike McCarthy doesn't understand it's a problem. You know, they're like, wow, we just need our guys to block better. You know, we got good schemes. They're tried and true. I've been coaching this game a long time. But you need to be thinking differently, not only from the coaching perspective, but you know, to hear Brian say it, you need different kinds of offensive linemen to run that. When they tried to use motion last year, it wasn't working. So here we have almost a decade into, hey, if you don't have great personnel, here's something that you can do to run the ball, and the Cowboys are still out to lunch on it. And to me, that is the reason why you don't want to move on from McCarthy. Is it a 10 out of 10? No. I call it a 7.5 out of 10. I mean, three straight 12-win seasons. You saw what Jason Garrett could do.
Yeah.
Overcoming injuries, you know, sure. The game plan against Green Bay was bad. But I feel like right now we're close. And all you need is an assistant coach to turn that light bulb on for somebody. You need a scout that's like, hey, guys, you know, let me make a presentation for you if you want to look at why, you know, some teams are managing to have success. We need to be thinking much more like a college team who's trying to compete against the blue chip D1 programs. And it worked for years. And for some reason in football, we got the idea that only the talent deficient team should be doing that. But it's taken hold in the NFL. And, you know, if somebody can turn that light on, then I think you have a really nice coaching staff. But sitting around hoping that passing game guru guys can be like, hey, you know, we need to spend a lot of time on the run game. That's not what they've mastered. And I think that's, you know, to me, the biggest thing holding this team back is just a fundamental understanding of that. And maybe I should be willing to take that leap of faith. But hell, I feel like Jerry's going to, you know, pull out his Rolodex, call some old guys and the first couple of guys that make sense that he likes. I mean, his quote here in the story, I don't worry about contracts and incentives over in the coaching ranks. That day he said any number of 500 coaches could have won the Super Bowl. That was a window into his mindset that he thinks the coaching staff is overrated. And, you know, you just give them enough good players and then the magic happens. But I look at, you know, GM and coach, like, these got to be the smartest football guys, totally tuned to the modern trends, in order to get the great difference-making advantage. You need players, you need plays, and you need that front office that can constantly execute and replenish those guys if you want to stay on top. And, you know, right now I think it's Kansas City and San Francisco and everybody else playing catch up. Okay, in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking it?
We will crank up the Oxnard vibes, ladies and gentlemen, next in the nation.